This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, happy 2014, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's January 2nd, episode 819. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's Thursday.
Kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
Well, happy new year, everybody. Thank you for being here on this Thursday, our first show of 2014. We appreciate you being here. I know a lot of you are dealing with some very cold temperatures around the country and preparing for a snowstorm in the Northeast. And now they're calling for blizzard conditions in Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and up that way. So that just makes me very glad for one of a number of reasons that we don't live in Massachusetts anymore. That was one of the reasons we moved out of Massachusetts, was it was too cold and snowy. So, but there.
I lived in Kentucky for like 4 years, going to Lexington, and that was too cold for me. So bless all your hearts that you guys are sitting up there being snowed in and having to shovel your driveway. I also lived in Ohio, like in the snow belt, and that was god awful. I mean, I don't know how, there's just people on the planet, Glenn, that are tougher than us.
I guess.
They're just tougher than us.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm getting early reports in here now from Ohio and other states up that way that the snow has started. There's a couple inches on the road. One lady said instead of taking a half an hour to get to work, it took her an hour and a half this morning. I remember those days. It's always the first inch of snow that causes the majority of the accidents. It's that first inch that is all the problems. There was a massive pileup on the Pennsylvania Turnpike in an area we used to drive all the time last week. And it was during that first inch of snow because people are still going too fast, yet the roads are slippery. You know, they haven't slowed down yet. So,
yeah,
that's usually what happens. But we have a fun show planned for today. Jennifer's going to tell us about it.
On today's, we're not yet ready for the New Year Thursday edition. Following a requisite review of horsey headlines and an expansive explanation of the Chinese New Year, the Year of the Horse, we welcome our first Oscar winner to Horses in the Morning. That's right, Oscar as in little gold statue. Jim Wilson, whose new feature film, 50-1, brings to the silver screen the fantastic journey of My Net Bird, Not Cigar, and Chip Woolley and his gang of outsiders to the upset win of the 2009 Kentucky Derby. Woo-hoo! Stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. And it's time for our Daily Whinnies. Well, I thought it appropriate that my first Daily Whinny of 2014 would go to all of those people who make New Year's resolutions and actually keep them. Now, Jamie, do you make resolutions?
I have before, but I'm not one of the people that would get your daily winning.
No, okay.
So I did not do one this year. I didn't.
I don't think Jennifer and I did either. There actually, the recent study came out, put out by the University of Scranton, the Journal of Clinical Psychology, said that 45% of Americans make New Year's resolutions, and after a year, 3% have kept them. So there you go.
3%. Wow.
Yes. It's not a very high. We're not right. Very good at following through on things. The top 10 New Year's resolutions for 2014. Can you take a guess? You guys have any guesses?
Quit smoking, lose weight, work out more, work less. what? I don't know.
You got three of them. You got three of them. You got the top one. Was lose weight. Number two, get organized. Isn't that everybody? You know, we all say we're going to do that. Three, spend less, save more. Yeah, that never works. Four, enjoy life to the fullest. Well, there's a lot of us that try that, and then other things get in the way sometimes, you know. Number five, staying fit and healthy, which you really need to work on. You have a cold again, so you need to work on that one.
I know.
You have a child, so you're never going to be healthy for 18 years now is what's going to happen. And he's not even in school yet. So you have that to look forward to.
You're having trouble.
Yeah. Number six, learn something exciting. Well, we do that on the show. We learn things all the time on the show. So, you know, we pretty much got that one covered. Number seven is quit smoking, of course, the one you said. Eight is help others in their dreams. Number nine is fall in love. So, like you're going to make a resolution to fall in love with somebody. That's kind of thing that just sort of happens, right? I mean...
No, some people may make resolutions to do that, Glenn. You know, maybe they're looking for Mr. Right or Mrs. Right or Mr. Right. And they are finding themselves on New Year's Eve alone and sadly watching Ryan Seacrest on TV. And they may make an idea that it is time to make a change in their life and to go ahead and to open themselves up and fall in love. And, you know, it may happen. It may happen next month. It may happen on February 22nd on a Delta flight going from Phoenix up to Philadelphia. And it might happen, and then you have to be there and you have to be ready for it. I don't know anybody who this would have happened to, but I'm just saying.
You know, I did say when Jennifer and I met that year, I told my dad I was working at the Pennsylvania Renaissance Fair, and I said, I'm going to meet my wife at the Pennsylvania Renaissance Fair, and Jennifer walked in one day. So there you go.
See?
I did. Yep.
You got it. You got it. Use the secret. Put it out there, and it'll happen.
Number 10 was spend more time with family. So there's the top 10 for 2014. 3% of you will actually be keeping those by the end of this year, according to the system. Here's your daily Winnie.
My daily Winnie kind of is threefold. It goes to a horse named Cost of Freedom, and it goes to a guy named John Malone, and it also goes to a guy, and I'm trying to find his name. I'm trying to find the name of the guy who claimed Cost of Freedom. So this horse, Cost of Freedom, has run. He's 11 years old. He's had 47 career races, has won over $1 million, and he was at his apex of his career when he won a race in 2008, okay? And he's still running.
Mm.
Well, he was claimed from the Hollywood Park for $8,000 by this guy named Diodoro. And Diodoro, Robertino Diodoro, was going to take him to Arizona and keep racing him. And, you know the drill. Like, they just keep running him and keep running him. Well, John Malone, who is the Santa Anita head clocker, he works at Santa Anita and is the guy that, you know, times all the horses. Well, he called Diodoro and was like, listen, I want that horse to retire. I'm done watching that horse race. He's 11 years old. For God's sake, let's retire him. And he went and bought the horse from Diodoro and has retired him. So my daily Winnie goes to the horse. My daily Winnie goes to the trainer who was going to run him that was smart enough to sell him, and to the clocker who went in and was like, you know, this horse is done. So the horse now, again, his name is Cost of Freedom. Ironic? I don't know. He is actually now just outside of Temecula in a 5-acre facility in Winchester in California. That's a beautiful area for weather in California, and he's going to live out his life in Winchester and retire happily. So, yay!
Good for him.
All of it. Okay, here we go. Happy stories as opposed to awful stories. Yay!
Well, I have a story for you. I wanted to tell this on Monday and didn't get a chance. We got so busy talking about other stuff. The weekend before Christmas, my landlord, we have terrific landlords here. He's a retired 2-star general in the Army and super nice guy. And we live on one end of the farm. The barn and all the paddocks and stuff are in the middle of the farm. And at the other end of the farm is where they live. They have a nice house at the other end of the farm. So we had this shed out in back of our house that was falling down. I mean, it had been there for 20 years and it was a metal shed. It looked awful. It was terrible. So he decided, well, I'm going to buy a new shed and I'm going to tear this one down. So that's what we did. That weekend, we dedicated to getting the old shed torn down and putting the new one up. Well, he bought the new one through a company called Lifetime. And they make sheds and they make all kinds of different stuff. And it arrived on a tractor trailer, Jamie, in four very large boxes and about 1,000 pieces. And think IKEA furniture, all right? You know, everybody's put some IKEA furniture together, and everybody knows what the IKEA furniture instructions were like. Well, this shed, which is about...
They're not in English.
Correct. This shed, which is about 18 by 12, it's a good size shed, all right? It has a roof and skylights and all that stuff. Well, the directions were 92 pages. It must have had 1,000 screws. I mean, literally, I must have screwed 1,000 screws that weekend. So we start putting this shed together, and we're following the little directions, and soon we learned that two people can't do it because you got to hold parts and pieces and then screw at the same time. So we enlisted Jennifer, and then by the end of the weekend, we had a fourth person helping us. We every step of the way, the directions were so not good that we ended up having to take pieces apart and put them back together almost every step. There was one point where we had 3/4 of the shed put up and we discovered that the floor panels were wrong and the doors wouldn't go in. We had to tear the 3/4 of the shed down again and start over. So this tells you what this weekend is going like, right? And we get to one point where we just couldn't figure it out. The rod that we had was too short. We just couldn't figure it out. Well, conveniently in the box, they put this sheet of paper that says, have questions, contact our experts for help. And they put this great big 800 number there. And we thought, wow, this is great. They probably won't be there on a weekend, but let's call this 800 number and let's actually see, you know, let's see what we can find out. Maybe they can help us. And when I called the 800 number, this is what I heard, Jamie. Now it's going to take a second for it to start, but I made sure I had the right number. Everything was correct. It was the 800.
Welcome to America's Hottest Talk Line. Ladies, to talk to interesting and exciting guys, three, press 1 now. Guys, hot ladies are waiting to talk to you. Press 2 to connect.
Now I had to call it about 5 times to make sure I had it correct, but that was the number they had printed in very large thing on their Have Questions, Ask Experts for Help that they put in the freaking box.
Oh, my God. That is awesome. Did you press 1? Or
no, I did. Now, you would think somebody would have let this company know that they had the wrong number on the sheet they put in every box that goes out for the helpline. You would think. Or is it just some practical joke that there really isn't a helpline? Which do you think it is?
I think they're just trying to relieve your tension of putting the shed together by redirecting your brain to another part of entertainment. Maybe they meant to do it. Maybe it's the guy that owns the shed, his sister's company. I mean, who knows?
Oh, it did give us a chuckle at the end of a very long, frustrating day. I will say that.
Oh my gosh, that is so awesome. That is so awesome. How did you not tell me that on Monday?
I don't know. I forgot. It's one of the best stories from Christmas.
That's fantastic. When you told me you had a story about building a shed, I was not so interested. But now you have piqued my interest.
By the way, the shed up.
Play it again.
Play it again? Okay, here. Wait a minute. All right, let me play it again. It's going to take a second. It takes a second to start. The shed is up. It's not leaking. So everything's good that way. It works fine. It hasn't blown away yet.
Welcome to America's Hottest Talk Line. Ladies, to talk to interesting and exciting guys free, press 1 now. Guys, hot ladies are waiting to talk to you. Press 2 to connect free now. Ladies, press 1 now. Guys, press 2 now.
Do you really think the guys are free? They're charging you $1 a minute from the time you press 2.
I just Googled America's Hottest Talk Line, and nothing came up with that exact line. There's a America's Hottest Chat Line, but there's not America. I'm going to get in trouble for Googling this. My husband is going to see the Google.
I'll send you the phone number later.
Excuse
so
me.
if you want to do further research, you could call and press 1 and see what you get.
I don't.
All right.
I'm good. I'm okay. I just wanted to know if it was somehow connected to a shed company. Awesome. Well, hey, just to keep things moving on a little bit, I would love everybody to welcome, and it starts here on January 31st, the Year of the Horse. Yay!
That's right. Chinese Year of the Horse. And everybody's been talking about this, and I thought, well, let's take a closer look at what exactly the Year of the Horse is. And of course, every year, the Chinese calendar has a different animal. I'm an ox, by the way. I looked that up this morning, and they predicted that the ox is going to have a very prosperous 2014. So I was happy with that.
Yeah,
that's not bad, huh? But the Year of the Horse, let me give you some of the years. If you were born in 1942, 1954, 1966, 1978, 1990, or 2002, you are born in a Year of the Horse. And Jamie, you want to go over the strengths of the people that were born in those years or are born this year?
Yeah, strengths of the people born this year or in 42, 54, 66, 78, or 90. You have ingenious communicating techniques in your community, and you always want to be in the limelight. You are clever, you're kind to others, and you would like to join an adventure career. I don't know what that means. Mm. Although sometimes you may talk too much, you are cheerful, you're perceptive, you're talented, you're earthy but stubborn. You also like entertainment and large crowds. You're very popular among your friends. You're active at work. Refuse to be reconciled to failure because you just keep trying. Although your endeavor cannot last indefinitely. So you must accept failure. I'm adding that part because it just can't go on forever. So what are their weaknesses, Glenn?
Their weaknesses are they cannot bear too much constraint. They don't like to be constrained. However, their interests may be only superficial and lacking in really real substance. They are usually impatient and hot-blooded about everything other than their daily work. They are they're lovely to live with, in other words. You really want to marry this one. They are independent and rarely listen to advice. Oh, geez. My guess is the divorce rate is really high too for the horse people. Failure may result in pessimism. They usually have strong endurance, but with a bad temper. Is it sounding more attractive as we go here, Jamie? Just want to marry this person. Flamboyant by nature, they are wasteful since they are not good with matters of finance. Okay, so let's review. They have a bad temper, they rarely listen to advice, they are lacking real substance, and they have budgetary issues. Yeah, not so good. Did we lose Jamie? Jennifer?
I said they're sounding very attractive.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. Yes. There were celebrities that were born in the Year of the Horse. A couple of them here that you might know. Harrison Ford, Denzel Washington, Cindy Crawford, Barbara Streisand, Sir Isaac Newton was born. John Travolta, Jerry Seinfeld, Jackie Chan, and the list goes on and on and on. There were lots. Oprah Winfrey was born in the Year of the Horse. What year were you born? Can I ask? Am I allowed to ask you?
I and my son are both Year of the Snake.
Ooh. Wonder what that means.
I don't know what that means, though. I don't know. I haven't really checked out the Chinese zodiac.
I have the snake. For the snake for 2014, here's your horoscope. The snake is very successful in this horse year. You must want to look for a failure. For the snake, it is one of the best years. Whoa, look at you. January is Woo-hoo! A month still quiet for the snake, but towards the middle of the year comes a success after success. The second half of the year starts very well, but this year was too good, and the envious are stationed around the corner. So it sounds like you have a fantastic year coming.
Well, the good news is that if I have success, you have success. So we're in this together.
Well, so, and mine said I have success too. So maybe we'll be picked up like by one of the syndicated radio show people, and we'll be on all over stations across the country. What do you think?
See, you use the secret gun and you vocalize it and you put it out there into the earth and it'll come true. So I think that might happen. It just might happen. Syndication, baby. Real radio. Here we come.
Here we come.
I mean, for God's sake, we have an Oscar winner on our show today. I mean, it just keeps getting better.
That's right. But you know what? Real radio, I like doing what we do. There's 30,000 listeners around the world. That's kind of cool, too. That's not too bad. We have great listeners.
Yeah. Actually, you know what I did last night is I had a dream that I was actually set my alarm at night, and I kind of have always for about, I don't know, 15 years had to wake up way earlier than most people. And I realized a lot of the times I have nightmares about not waking up. And this morning in the middle of the night, I woke up going, oh, God, because I felt like I was late for work. At real radio stations, because they don't like it when you're late, when you don't show up. It's pretty much frowned upon because you kind of have to be there. And I woke up in the middle of the night and I thought, oh, thank God. I'm going to do my radio show Horses in the Morning. I don't have to worry about that anymore. Glenn will call me and just be like, hey, get up.
Yeah. That's and I do.
And I'm like, okay. Here we go. That has happened once or twice, has it not? Thank you.
Oh, can you imagine, though, we'd have to take commercial breaks at a certain time, like every 5 minutes. We would be awful. We'd be going to commercials late all the time. The producer would be mad at us. You and I would never work well with constraints. See, maybe we are a horse. We don't work well with constraints either. We're in the right profession.
Yeah. True. Yeah.
Hey,
success is maybe we'll just get a couple more title sponsors. How about that?
That would be good, and about 30,000 more listeners. Let's double our listener base and get some more sponsors. That'd be terrific.
Okay.
All right.
Let's do it.
Hey, the Horse Nation came out with 11 horsey New Year's resolutions that you know you won't keep. And I love these because we all do them. And these are horsey New Year's resolutions. And this was put together by Shara Rutberg, who wrote it for Horse Nation. Number one is I will improve my lower leg and pay homage to George Morris by riding without stirrups 10 minutes every day. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I did no stirrups on Saturday and only for about 10 minutes, and I still am sore. So it's probably a good idea, and maybe that'll be my resolution, at least 10 minutes every time. Okay, well, maybe at least 2 laps around the arena at the trot. Maybe I'll walk without stirrups for 5. Maybe I'll just use stirrups. Okay,
yeah.
Carry on.
Yeah. And, you know, that one's not that hard because, you know, you just have to take your feet out of the stirrups. It's not like you have to get off, change your tack, or do anything specific. You know, it's not really that difficult, but yet it's difficult.
Says the man who drives a pony.
That's right. That's correct. I can say that because I drive. Number two, I will clean my bit and bridle after every use. Oh. Yeah.
I've worked in places where you had to do that, Glenn. And I think that it damaged me. So now I clean my bit and bridle. Like, I'll wipe my bit off, but I clean my bit and bridle before a show. Am I the only one who does that?
Yeah, no, I think actually that, and I'll just give everybody vindication here today. First show of 2014. I think you actually injure the leather by cleaning it too often. So cleaning it every day probably cuts your bridle's, length of life in about half. So you're probably wise not to do that.
You're so smart.
I know.
So smart.
I think it's a conspiracy by the bridle manufacturers to have you clean it more often. That's my thing.
I think you're right. I'll do number three because this would never happen to you. Number three is I will not run errands in public wearing the world's most unflattering pants, breeches, of course, to help ensure I remain single forever. But just to add to that,
wearing boots and breeches in public, you do smell. You smell, and you can't smell it because you're used to that smell, but other people can smell it.
Yes.
And it smells.
Yes.
So don't wear your boots and breeches.
Yes, it does. But I'll tell you, you see that a lot down here. We do see a lot of people. There's one particular grocery store, Publix, down here that is right off of the road where all of the Hunter Jumpers live, and you'll see those guys all the time. They wear their half chaps, whatever. You see them all the time in the store. So we do see that a lot down here. I will not shoot daggers of fire at people with my eyes when asked, you have a riding lesson today? Why do you still need lessons?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that happens a lot.
Yeah, that's one that I think everybody has to deal with. I love the next one. Why don't you do this one?
This one is very much Jet. I will work on my spoiled, rotten horse's manners. During a time that he's not currently knocking me over, itching his 200-pound head on my shoulders, snatching a bite of grass, picking my pockets, or rubbing his nose on my pants, or, I can add, trying to push me out of the way to carry on with his day. When I'm meeting him, he would rather go towards the alfalfa, and he just drags me over there. I need to work on his manners.
Yeah, you'll get to that, I'm sure. That'll happen. That'll be one of the that'll be one of the 3% at the end of the year. We'll ask you about that one. Number six, I will stay classy and limit my use of duct tape on tack, or at least get fun colored duct tape. I like that one. We all use duct tape. Hey, by the way, while we were building the shed, guess what we used at times? To hold it together so it didn't fall apart while we're trying to figure out the next section. By the way, it got windy that day, too. So we used a lot of duct tape that day. Just saying. Comes in handy for that, too.
Wow. Why don't you do that? Okay, number seven. I will waste no energy being jealous of people who have regular lessons, horse trailers, trucks, dressage, saddle, soft hands, legs longer than my stubs, trust funds, butts that look good in white breeches. Yes, I do have a truck and trailer. I don't take regular lessons. I have short legs. I don't have a trust fund. My butt does not look good in breeches. This is why it is a resolution that you know you won't keep. From horse nature.
Do you actually waste energy being jealous, though?
You posted a picture in the show notes of this girl in white breeches, kind of cocking her little tail over at everybody. Look how cute I look. I've never been on a horse in my life, but I have long legs and they're skinny and my butt looks good in breeches. So I guess I probably do have a little bit of jealousy. I feel short and chubby when I'm in breeches. I just do.
And then at number eight, I will try to display photos of human family members in my cubicle. I can't tell you when I worked at a major horsey retailer, and there were cubicles. I mean, thousands of cubicles, and they had. I can't tell you how many pictures of humans were actually in those cubicles. Not many. It was mostly just horses. That is true.
Of course, and on your Facebook page and everything. That's what you post.
I think 90% of our listeners at Horses in the Morning, if you look through our list of listeners, do not have a picture of themselves. They have a picture of their horse as their picture. I think it's got to be 90%, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. The problem is that now that I have a kid, it's my horse and my kid.
Yeah.
That's all I post.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will not longingly fondle other people's trucks and trailers in public, at least not while they're looking. Yes, my husband, and this would go to him because he wants a Dodge 3500 dually so bad that there's a Dodge dealership kind of near our house, and it's on the way home from the grocery store, and he will pull in the dealership and case the joint like he's and there's a row. There's a whole row of 3,500 dualies. Oh my God. And he drives up and down. I'm like, honey, these are $80,000 to $90,000 trucks. I'm like, just stop. Just you're hurting yourself.
Yeah, when the truck is about is more than a year's salary, you know you're way out of line. It's not going to happen.
Years.
Yeah,
okay,
years.
For me. Yeah,
that's
years.
True. That's true.
That's sad.
That's true. Sad. And then I like the last one. I'm going to skip the last one. I will not be the craziest horse, crazy lady at the barn. I will not be the craziest crazy horse lady at the barn. Yeah.
You will not be. You are correct. But I most of our not. Listeners will be. So
yeah.
Sad.
I'm good on that one. I could probably be in the 3% on that one. Well, that was a good list put together by Horse Nation. It was a lot of fun. We're going to be back here in just a second. We have coming up for you, because we missed yesterday's show. And I know people love their horse health reports. Excuse me. We have a horse health report on x-rays coming up with Michelle Anderson of thehorse.com and Dr. Jones of Florida Equine. It's one we had done previously that we're bringing back for you. But first, I have to talk about Equestrian Collections. It's that time of year when Equestrian Collections has their sale. You want to go to equestriancollections.com right now and go to their sale place. It's up in the right-hand corner. You'll see it. And they have terrific sales at up to 70% off. They're trying to clear out the warehouse, and it is to your benefit. So stop on over there in the next week, and you'll find all kinds of terrific stuff at up to 70% off. This is stuff for the rider, stuff for your kids, stuff for your husband, stuff for the horse, you know, all stuff for the barn.
You know, you do these commercials at me, right? Because I am currently on Equestrian Collections. I'm like, oh, there's a deal? There's a sale?
Yes.
Okay, so where is it on here? You have to, they have live help, Glenn. You can actually call them and they have live help. I bet it's not the same live help you've already called.
Well, should we try it and see?
Sales and clearance blowout. Oh, they have boots. Hello.
Yeah,
okay,
have tons of boots.
Sorry.
Yeah, they have tons of boots in there right now. But yeah, you'll find that all at equestriancollections.com. It's sale time, people. Check it out. All right, now we're going to go over. We're going to take a re-listen back to a horse health report we did in the past on x-rays. It was with Michelle Anderson of thehorse.com and Dr. Jones of Florida Equine. After we come back from that, we have an Oscar winner on the show with us.
Take it away, Jamie.
Do we actually have Dr. Jones here? Are you
Let's
here, Dr.
Out.
Jones?
Oh, there you are. That music was really getting tiring.
I know, it's awful, isn't it?
Oh, it's my awful. Goodness. It was about 2 minutes worth of it. The last time I had to hang up and sent you that message saying, help me.
Okay,
well, I'm glad you made it so that we can talk about radiographs today, Dr. Jones. I'm glad
we'll
you're here.
We'll speed through it because I know you're short on time, but I apologize for that delay there.
Well, so the radiographs, so I, like, my vet will take radiographs, and he'll look at them, and he's like, oh, see this here, and there's this thing here, and he goes, do you see this? And I just shake my head, yes, I don't see anything, though. Like, I find them extremely confusing. So can we start out by telling everyone, what is a radiograph? What, when they shoot that the camera at the leg or the hoof or wherever they're taking the radiograph, what are they getting?
Okay, first I'll tell you, they're getting bone images, primarily. And that machine they're shooting is called a generator. Everybody used to call it the x-ray machine. It's really called a generator. It generates the x-ray atoms that come out, the radiation, basically, that's being shot out. And it gets captured on that plate that's on the other side of the horse, and that creates the image. That plate creates the image. So the plate is actually the most expensive part of the imaging now, especially in digital. But the x-rays, we can use any x-ray machine or generator on any of those plates. The plates make the difference on what the x-ray looks like in the final say or the end result. And it shoots through and it captures bone outlines. And in the digital world, they have algorithms that create it digitally for us onto a laptop within about 4 seconds, which is really the beauty of the digital at the farm. Now, there's a third one called computed. The first one is the old conventional ones where you had the plate and you had to go develop them in a developer tank and look at the x-rays at a hospital or a clinic. But the third one is computed, which a lot of clinics have because they have many veterinarians. They couldn't buy $60,000 to $90,000 digital electro machines for every single truck. It gets quite costly. So they get it computed, and what it is these plates, they're special plates. They're thicker than your normal X-ray plates. Capture the image. They go back. They put it into a machine, and it digitizes the image. And that's called computed radiography. So you still get a digital image, but you just don't get it right there at the farm. You have to take it back to the hospital or clinic.
Okay. And you mentioned that, you know, we used to call them the X-ray machines, or maybe the layman will say X-ray machine. Is the term radiograph and X-ray interchangeable?
Yes. X-ray is basically the beam that's coming out of the generator, but everybody nowadays has been calling those images X-rays for years, but it's pretty much stuck. But they're actually called radiographs. That's the true word for it, the medical term. And that's basically telling you that it's a graph of the radiation image.
Okay. So when do you get out your generator, your X-ray machine? What kind of injuries lead you as a vet to recommend that kind of diagnosis?
Well, in a lameness exam, which a lot of people have been involved with, unfortunately, with their animals or their horses, in a lameness exam, you're looking at a horse trotting back and forth, under saddle, in a circle, all that, and you come up with a limb that has an issue with your nerve blocks to localize where the issue is, meaning is it high, is it low, is it around the hock, is it around the fetlock, is it in the foot? And then once we localize it, then we take an X-ray or a radiograph of that area, because we can't X-ray the entire body. That'd be quite costly for the client. So you localize where the problem is, and then you take a radiograph image of it and look at that to determine possibly is there a bony or joint problem. And if that doesn't give you enough information, of course, then we step up to ultrasound and then to MRI and then nuclear scintigraphy. It depends on the case. We don't just take one X-ray. Even nowadays with Sounder, we used to just take one X-ray to see if the coffin bone has rotated in the foot. We now take two front to back because we've seen that sometimes the coffin bone rotates side to side as well as front and back. So it's always a minimum of two images. That's the rule that's taught in medical, dental, and veterinary world. You need two images to really get a good view of that area you're looking at to see it in a 3D view, because it's a flat picture and you're only getting a 2D view. If you take another picture, you get more of a 3D view to kind of see the bone all the way around. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And so every time that thing goes off and another image is shot, it adds up in my head, like I'm calculating how much the bill's going to be at the end.
Right. I mean, most of the time when you're trying to get a quote for a lameness exam, you should at least consider 2 to 4 X-rays or radiographs taken of your horse's injury site. Some people will have hock X-rays done on a pre-purchase. It's really best to get 4 images of the hock because it gives you a complete 3D view all the way around. Every surface of that hock is looked at very closely in a 4-view world. If you get only 2, you might miss something. And if you're trying to do it as a cursory exam, the usual standard is 4 views of the hock and 4 to 6 views of the foot, depending on how much they scrutinize the navicular bone and things like that. So,
when you're taking the radiographs, what parts of the horse can you shoot? Because you mentioned the hock and the hoof and the leg. Is there anywhere else that you can use radiographs to diagnose problems?
That's a great question. Yes, we are limited in the field, as field veterinarians, to basically the limbs, the neck, and the skull. And sometimes the neck not quite so well, depending on how good our generator is. So you might see your veterinarian pull out this thing that looks like it came back from the 1950s. Those still work. They just don't have enough power to shoot through a neck or a skull sometimes. But they do great for the feet and the hocks and that kind of thing. But the generator itself has got to have enough power in it to exude enough energy radiation out to be captured on that plate. And so it all depends on what they have in the field, what they can take. But once you get to lungs, that's done usually at a hospital or university setting, and not necessarily can they get all the lung fields on these big warm bloods. Could they get the entire lung field, but they can get a good amount of them. The dorsal spine area of a horse is very hard to get, especially the very flat across draft horse types and draft horse crosses. You can't really get enough energy to shoot through all that muscle mass to get an image of the bone, because you need the extra plate really right up against the bone. And then the pelvis is the other key area that's hard for us to x-ray. They've done some under anesthesia at the hospitals and clinics and universities where they can take an x-ray of the pelvis once they're under anesthesia, but it may not be a good picture because there's so much muscle mass.
And so when you do take images, do you ever seek second opinions? Like, is there a specialist who reads equine radiographs? I know, you know, in human medicine, lots of times they go off and then come back with a report.
Yeah, the human medicine is wonderful because everything's in the clinic. Nothing's mobile, except for the ambulance. But the ambulance doesn't have a radiograph machine. And so they can, what they do is they pop it into what we call a PAC system, which is an off-site storage system of your digital images nowadays. Whether it's computed or digital x-rays, they can store them off-site. So they just put it in this PAC system, notify the radiologist that case number whatever has been shot and we need your readout. And they read it out, then they type their readout into the slot, and then the doctor that called for those radiographs can look that up underneath the PAC system and get the actual readout. So your general doctor doesn't read the radiograph. It's actually a radiologist that reads it. Now, we have radiologists in the veterinary world, and they do go for the extra specialty and what we call diplomat status, where they get more letters behind their name, to earn the degree of a radiologist. But they're primarily used more in small animals. Small animal has more of a referral system. In equine, I have sent off skull radiographs to be looked at because I don't see those every day. There's the obvious in some of the skull radiographs, and I've seen enough of them to diagnose quite a bit. But if I have any doubt, I definitely send off skull radiographs. That's usually a common thing to send off. And sometimes the neck images are common for some of the young practitioners to send off. They can take the x-ray, they can do the technical part, but the actual reading out of it may be a little difficult for them, so they could send those off. And a lot of times they'll send them back, especially new graduates, to the radiologist that taught them, so they send them back to the university where they came from. And there's probably a $50 fee, maybe $75 now for that, for a radiologist to formally read it out and send you a written report, which is nice to have because then you've got something in black and white in case there's any kind of issue down the line. So it's worth the extra $50 to have it read out sometimes.
Okay. And so when we're out in the field and we're holding our horse and the radiographs are being taken, you know, there's a certain amount of radiation, right? And so
exposure, yeah.
Yeah. So how should horse owners make sure they're protected? Like, is it the vet's responsibility to give them an apron, or is it your responsibility as the horse owner to go, oh, wait a second, I think we're doing radiographs, maybe maybe I should have an apron on, or is that necessary?
Yeah, it is necessary to have. The ambulatory radiograph generators that we have don't have that large of a spread, but there is a bit of a spread of what we call scatter beams that are coming out. And so it's good that everybody within a 9-foot radius, is the generalization they say, has lead on. And the minimal amount that's actually in the beam, like the gloved hand that's holding the plate, it's best if you don't even have to have the gloved hand. If you have an extension arm and then a glove on that extension arm, that would be better. Sometimes horses don't appreciate all that extra metal around them, so it's some kind of a safety issue of putting a person's body up against the horse with just the plate seems to work better, but you are exposing that person, even with lead on, you're exposing them to extra radiation. As long as the lead is working, it should keep it from penetrating their skin, and they can get issues from that. Usually the big thing is stand behind the person holding the generator, whether it's a technician or the veterinarian, holding generator standing behind them would always be best because that's less scatter. Being right in the direct angle of the beam is not really a good idea.
Okay. And so I have to ask, what's the craziest thing you've seen on a radiograph?
Let me just jump in here and just tell you that this answer is incredibly different depending on what type of doctor you ask. I'm hoping that it's not going to be at all like when I ask a ER doctor what was the weirdest thing they saw on a radiograph. I'm hoping your answer is going to be a little bit different, Dr. Jones.
Yeah, I've got, and it was clearly a you could see it from the outward part of the horse, but I don't think I could describe it very well. We had a horse, and I had to have the farrier come out. I couldn't even describe to the farrier what I was looking at, and this is like 7, 8 o'clock at night, so they got to call at 6 or 7 when they were feeding. This horse had lost its shoe, and I'm not even sure if it's lost its front shoe or its back shoe, but it was entangled on the foot on the back shoe, the back foot. And it was in such a position that one side of the horseshoe, because it was a regular-sized horseshoe, was in the coronary band. And the other one was kind of coming around the inside of the leg and was tucked very tight into the sulci next to the frock. Are you getting this at all?
Yes.
And so I had to take an x-ray to see how deep into the coronary band it had penetrated.
How did it do that?
If it had penetrated at all, then how deep in the sulci it had penetrated, if it had penetrated at all. And we take pictures of nails up in the feet, you know, they step on nails, and that's a big, big, big problem in horses. Taking the nail out before you have the vet out is always a bad idea because it's kind of good to see where that nail went. Now, if you have to haul the horse to a facility, you'll probably have to take it out because you don't want to make the nail go in any deeper. But if you keep the horse still and it's near an x-ray outlet, then you can probably get it done. But this was so unique. I have no idea how the shoe got on there. And the thing is, when you tell them, I was trying every bolt cutter I could think of on my truck to get this thing cut in half so I could take it off, because you could not manipulate it because the horse was very painful. Even sedated and blocked, I was worried about pushing it further into the coronary band or more up into the sole of the foot. So all I wanted to do was cut off at the very toe of the shoe and then take the two pieces apart, and I couldn't get it done. So I finally called the farrier, who had a, and it was a steel shoe, of course, who had a, basically a blowtorch cutter and a grinder, and he was able to cut it off, and we took it off in two pieces. But it was the most interesting, emergency I've ever seen in my entire life. And when I was trying to describe the farrier, he goes, did he just twist the shoe, step and twist? And I go, no. It's not on the bottom of its foot, except for the one part is sticking in the sulci, and the other one's coming around the side of the wall and up into the coronary band.
It's like I feel like I have a barrier nail underneath my fingernail right now. That big.
Yeah, my toes are curling a bit on that one.
And that poor guy was painful. It did not penetrate into any deep soft tissue. It was all superficial, but it was just the most amazing thing. We've got pictures. I don't even know if I've got pictures at the clinic. I think I do have them. I don't know where the heck they are, to post on our Facebook page or post on your Facebook page for the outside of the foot. And I'm sure the radiographs are somewhere in our PAC system. But yeah, that's...
Ouch.
Very, very interesting. One last thing I do want to mention, because we get this request all the time, is a lot of places, and we're included, have what we call PAC system or an off-site system where we store our images because of safety reasons, medical records. We're required here in the state of Florida to keep medical records for 3 years, and then after that you can discard them. And so since those images are not hard copied anymore, they're still considered part of the medical records. So we'd always get the comments back in the old days when we made films is, I paid for those x-rays, they should be mine. Or I'd get a new client saying, well, I had x-rays taken with another vet, but they never gave them to me. Well, those are part of your medical records, and that's even true in the human world. So they have to stay with the hospital and the clinic that it was generated at, for a minimum of 3 years, at least in Florida. Those images can be made, copies can be made of those. And just like you would in your medical record world, if there's copies made, there's usually a fee with it. So I just wanted to pre-warn everybody that, yes, you paid for radiograph, but you actually paid for the service. And the service was taking the images and reading out the images. And some places will charge a lower fee for taking the images, but they also have a radiograph review fee of reviewing the images, which may include a consultant reviewing it, or it may just be the veterinarian taking, you know, the chance to look at it.
Yeah, but the horse owner then doesn't actually own those images.
Right, it's part of their medical records. They own it because it's part of their medical records, but if they actually want them physically, there's always a fee to burn a disc or email it to them, that kind of thing.
Well, that was Michelle Anderson of thehorse.com and Dr. Jones of FloridaEquine.com. You can find them both online. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is in the producer chair. We're going to be back with you in just a few minutes with Jim Wilson, producer and director of the new movie that's coming out called 50 to 1. But first, we have to hear from Templeton Thompson. I thought it would be appropriate with Jim coming up that we play Templeton's song, I Love to Run.
Nice.
Stepping down to the line, my whole life led me to this moment. I laid all out on the line. Time to shine. Time to rock and roll. I feel a million butterflies. Oh, but I've never been so ready. Watch me when I hit my stride. Feel alive. Yeah, I'm strong and steady. Seems to have my number. Ain't no need to be afraid. I'll escape from the cloud I'm under. Dying in for the fame, or the pain, or the so-called glory. I'm just living how I'm made. That's what they'll say when they tell my story. Thank you.
love that song. That is Templeton Thompson. I love to run. You can find her music on templetonthompson.com or follow her on Facebook for your daily dose of sugary sweet syrup. Am I right?
You're right.
Well, today, I guess fun's not there. Your show today is brought to you, and we appreciate that from Equestrian Collections. I've actually been sitting here on the website shopping. So there is some stuff on sale at equestriancollections.com. It's pretty awesome. So we're going to have our guest on here in a second. Are you here, Glenn?
I am here. And you know what? I got a deal for you while we're waiting for our guest. Cheryl Crow cannot sell her equestrian estate in Tennessee, so she has dropped the price. So you can buy, it's a spacious abode. It comes 14 stalls, a storage building, guest houses, both indoor and outdoor riding arena. It boasts a swimming pool, the waterfall and spa, and a Western style saloon. And it has a 10,000 square foot house. She was asking a lot more. She was asking for $7.5 million, but she has dropped the price to 4.5. So there you go. You got it. It's a deal.
Is she an equestrian? Does she ride? Or is she
She used to ride.
Like, this is near Nashville, and she wanted to go country, so was it kind of a thing? She's like, oh, I'll buy a horse farm in Nashville, but, like, I don't really ride horses. Or is she, like, a diehard horse person that's, like, moving to something?
I actually think she was a horse person that, I don't know if she needed the money or what. If she needs some money, she's just been for sale for a while, so it's been almost 3 years. So if she needs the money, she's in rough shape right now because she's been waiting a long time. But I don't know if she's getting out of the horse thing or what happened there, but. There you go. It's
she
for
doesn't
sale.
Need money. There's no way. No way she needs money. She's got a new hit song on country music. Yeah, she's doing all right, I'm sure. She divorced Lance Armstrong before he got all his titles stripped. She's doing fine.
I was wondering if that was before or after. I wasn't sure the order of events there. I didn't know whether.
Yeah, it was before. It was before, I believe. Yeah. Well, we've got our guest on the line, and it's something that I have. Well, I've never said, Glenn, we've got an Oscar winner that is on hold. Okay. And let's take him off hold. Oscar winners don't stay on hold. Okay. We've got with us this morning, Jim Wilson, the producer and director of the movie that we've been talking about like crazy, 50-1. It is the movie about Mind That Bird. Good morning, Jim.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Fantastic. Are you East Coast or West Coast right now?
I'm West Coast.
Well, I am too. So thank you for getting up this early and joining us. I understand
No problem.
A little bit. Well, talk to us a little bit about 50-1. We're super excited about the movie and Mind That Bird. First of all, give us a general overview of the movie, the story.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you. I mean, I was mesmerized, as was I'm sure millions, when they watched Mind That Bird come down the lane, you know, in 2009 on TV. I was watching on television. And I just couldn't believe this little horse, you know, squirted through and won by almost 7 lengths. And I said, oh my gosh, if there's more of a story to it, here's half of it right here. Because that was one of the most amazing races I'd ever seen in my life. It really was. So then I spent some time with three cowboys, basically. Chip Woolley, the trainer, Mark Allen, and Leonard Block, the owners, down in Roswell, New Mexico. And I found them to be just very rich, colorful guys. And I said, if I've got a story about three cowboys, you know, out of Roswell, New Mexico, who bought a horse up in Canada, who won a Canadian championship, and are going to go ahead and trade their horse cross country to the Derby, you know, and take on the best of the best, I want to be a part of that. Because I love stories. I'm a real sucker for underdog tales. And, and this was one. I didn't have to make up stuff. I mean, it's... These guys met in a bar fight, 25 years ago, and I said any movie that starts with a bar fight or history does. I said I'd love to be a part of it. So I just thought it was full of color. Love this little horse. I met Mind That Bird down in Roswell. Spent some time with him. He was a character as well. So it had all the elements I needed for a great film. Yeah.
Okay. Just you telling the story of these guys is a movie, and it screams movie. I think you're very lucky to be the first one to get in there. Have you always been a horse person, or are you just
not always a horse
person?
Not always a horse person. I mean, like, my parents were nice. They used to saddle me on some little thing at a birthday party, and that wasn't much. But in my 30s, you know, I produced a couple films. I did Dances with Wolves and Wyatt Earp, and after a couple of Westerns, even The Postman, I really had an affinity for horses. I loved to get out in the wilds and be with these animals and stuff. So when I finally could afford a piece of a horse, you know, I bought a horse about 25 years ago. I've had kept a small barn here on the West Coast. So, you know, I was just a kind of a normal city kid until I made those films. But then I fell in love with the West a bit and horses. And so that's how I really, really got, you know, acclimated to and wanting to have a racehorse. So,
you kind of started a racing barn then.
Yeah, I've had a racing barn out here, based at Santa Anita, basically, or the West Coast, wow, Southern California hub since 91. Yeah, bought my first horse actually with, well, it was funny, I bought it in auction on the telephone, and I had Whitney Houston and Kevin Costner with me, and we were in a trailer in the snow up in Lake Tahoe. It's it gets a thing a bit higher, because they just wanted to see me get this darn horse. So I got my first horse with those two in 91. They didn't own it with me, but they got me to bid that high.
Okay, so obviously they were filming the scene where they went up to Kevin Costner. The Bodyguard is one of my all-time favorites. And you're filming the scene where the kid is on the boat and it blows up, and then you have to get out of there, and then all the lines are cut in the cars. Oh, my God, the drama of that scene. Since you brought it up, because you talked about Whitney and Kevin, two of my favorite people on the planet. I've had a crush on Kevin Costner since I was about 13 years old.
Uh-oh.
He's one of my favorite actors of all time. I know, it's terrible. And you have done so many movies with him. You guys actually own a production company together.
Yeah, we've had a company since really the late 80s. And we have. We've made a lot of fun films, and some have worked, some haven't. But yeah, Kevin and I just felt like brothers and have enjoyed it. But we did have one horse together named Proud to Be Together, and ran a couple races, won a few, and he just wondered why we weren't going to the Derby. And that kind of ended the relationship in terms of horses. I had to explain to him that not all horses go to the Derby. So that was, but we've had a company a long time, yeah.
And then you make a movie about a horse in New Mexico that goes in a two-horse trailer across the country with a bunch of cowboys and men in a bar fight that go into the Derby. Why can't Kevin Costner get to the Derby? He doesn't get it.
I know. He doesn't get it.
I love it. So of the projects, you mentioned Dances with Wolves, one of the classic movies of all time. It was such a game changer in movies to have that sweeping picture of the Native Americans and him being, you know, a soldier going across the country. And Glenn actually hasn't seen it, but
I'm sorry.
I'm gonna have to have a spoiler. I gotta have a spoiler alert because I have some. I know he's the only person on the planet who hasn't seen it, but I've got to ask a couple questions. Just to make me, the horse girl, the animal lover, feel better, can you please tell me, and lie to me if you have to, that Two Socks came back at the end? They didn't really kill him.
Well, of course Two Socks wasn't killed. Please, my gosh. We sat here and we dealt with two great wolves. I don't think I'll deal with two wolves next time. You know, Kevin insists we use two real wolves, and I said, Kevin, why don't we get a hybrid, you know? Get us a Prius, something that's not so difficult to work with. But that didn't happen. So we dealt with two wolves, and they probably pushed me 2 weeks behind schedule.
Wow.
Just because he insisted they actually take the bacon from him and chase him down and grab his boot and do all that they do. But no, we used two wolves, and actually they were extremely well trained. So they were easy to get to do what we needed to do.
Yeah. Right. And I get it. And I I've read all that. I've studied it. I'm a huge fan of the movie. But, you know, they go through the part where, you know, you think maybe he's shot. And then there's a wolf at the end that starts howling. And in my heart, I know that was Two Socks.
Well, I think you're not
right.
Wrong, okay, you're not wrong, Jamie. No, there he is, right there. He took a little bit of recovery, took a little bit of the fall and the winter to get him okay. But by the time they were leaving winter camp, he's howling up in that rock enclave. You're right.
Oh my God, you just made my year.
No, he's fine. He's okay. In fact, he had a beautiful litter of pups, and he's in good shape.
You're awesome. And obviously, you know, we would be remiss being a horse radio
show to not talk about Sisko, probably one of the greatest movie horses in my memory. My husband actually owns a buckskin because Kevin Costner rode a buckskin in that movie. Wow. It's the manliest color of a horse.
Yeah.
What happened? I don't want to talk about what happened to Sisko in the movie because I'm still upset at you about that. But let's talk about what happened after. Did Sisko go on to live a happy life?
The Sisko went on to live an extremely happy life down in Texas, and he was purchased from us from a family in Texas who had a whole family of daughters who rode, and I forget if it was outside Dallas, but anyway, yeah, he's had a great life down there, and we do check up on all the horses, and this one is crazy. Well, you guys can talk about it a little bit, but this horse that we have named Sunday Rest is a horse that that plays Mind That Bird. But anyway, Sisko is fine. Sisko's had a tremendous life down in Texas and ended up being a little more of a jumper than we had thought. So he jumped down there a little bit, and it was fun. Yeah, but a beautiful buckskin he was. Yeah.
Yeah, just gorgeous. Well, I'm glad that he ended up having a great life. Tell us a little bit. Okay, let's get back to Mind That Bird, the horse that plays Mind That Bird. Did Mind That Bird do any of the acting in the movie, or was he just archival footage? What happened with that?
Yeah, no, Mind That Bird, the real Mind That Bird, lives in Roswell, and it's very sweet because, as you know, most of the stallions go on to breed and all of that, but he's a gelding. So they brought him back. Mark Allen has him actually at his home down in Roswell, and they built this mini Churchill Downs grandstand with the twin spires and all that farm down. I'm not kidding, down in Roswell. So when you first pull up, you go, oh my gosh. So this horse is pampered and loved, and he scampers around. Mark's got a track right there as well. I think a 3/4 oval that they exercise him on, and he's living in a lap of luxury down there. Yeah.
Wow. You don't hear that very often, that somebody lives in Roswell and is living in a lap of luxury.
Luxury. I thought of that.
Well,
too.
I'll tell you, Mark's built a beautiful, beautiful ranch down there, and Leonard Block, the co-owner, lives across the street. So it's fun. I mean, they walk down their driveway and go have a barbecue together and a drink and shoot the breeze about what's coming up in the next season and breeding and what they're going to be doing. Yeah.
People can visit him and see him. I mean,
people visit Bird all the time. They've got a big sign about half a mile away pointing them to Double Eagle Ranch, and it says, come visit Mind That Bird.
Hmm.
And they take care of everybody. I'm not kidding you. They knock on the door, buzz the buzzer, and they've got peppermints ready, and off they go. So
I have a question I want to ask about, because it's something that you guys really haven't brought up much, and it was the other story of his win that year, was Calvin Burrell. We really hadn't heard a whole lot about Calvin till he won the Kentucky Derby that year. Is Calvin Burrell going to be in the movie?
How can you replace Calvin Burrell?
That was my question, is what actor is going to play Calvin Burrell? I can't even think of it.
Well,
not even Kevin Costner could pull that one off.
No, Glenn, so what we did is we did honestly think we were going to have to find somebody. So we're in Hollywood, and I went down to Del Mar and Hollywood Park, and we talked to some jockeys and stuff. But the more we did that, the more it became apparent that only Calvin could play Calvin. So finally got a hold of Calvin back there and talked to him about the script and what the scenes were that involved him. And he was a little hesitant to begin with. Actually said, I'm not sure if I should be doing this. I mean, obviously he was writing, and it's hard because you got to figure out a schedule. And I spoke to his agent, Jerry Histon, a number of times. And so finally he said, yep, I'm on board. And I'm really happy he did, because Calvin is, he's a one-of-a-kind guy, and he was something else. It was his turf. He said, you're in my home now, boys. So the minute we landed in Churchill Downs, we filmed there for 2 weeks. He was the man. I mean, he took me through the jocks room, and we do scenes in the jocks room, and we're out in the paddock and recreating the moment of the paddock, and I'm on the track with him on our horse and recreating part of the race. And so Calvin Burrell is there's nothing quite like Calvin. So
you really didn't need him. You really didn't need him to act, right? I mean, he just played himself, and Calvin is Calvin. You're not gonna you get what you get with Calvin, right?
You get what you get, but I'll tell you, son, Glenn, one of the hardest things to do is to play yourself. If I really pulled you out of your studio and put some lights on you and said, Glenn, just be Glenn. Just just walk down here and deliver this line to me. You'd be shocked if you say ABC. I mean, I've had actors you think can play themselves, and they can't do it at all. So the fact that Calvin could do Calvin is great. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, so tell us about the horse you guys used in the movie, Mind That Bird Stand-In.
Yeah, so Mind That Bird Stand-In. So Mind That Bird does have a cameo in the film. So you can, it's kind of be a fun little trivia piece for those who know horses and all to look for Mind That Bird. So the real bird has a real scene in the movie with the lead actors. So he's in the film. There's two shots of him. So I'll let you know that. The horse we finally found, his name was Sunday Rest. I alluded to him earlier. We looked at probably almost 400 head to really find, because I'm a nitpicker when it comes to these past movies and saying they got to look a little more like these real animals. So if you're doing a real story. So I had, you know, obviously the photos and video with me, and there's a gentleman named Bill Lawrence up in Washington who finally found him in Calgary. So he was at the Stampede, and he was working on some horses, and he said, I think I just got a little guy. So he sent me some tape and photos back and sizes and all of that, and we found him up there. But it wasn't after rejecting a whole lot of horses, too. So I finally took the picture. I sent it off to the doc and to Mark Allen and had them sort of just double-check me and make sure. And I said, has he got a personality? Because Bird really does. Bird knows he's a little different. And so this horse, he said, is full of it. And he's a 3-year-old thoroughbred who had raced 4 times in Arizona. And not very well, but had 4 races. And so it was perfect. Right color, right, you name it. So it didn't have the little tiny star on his head we had to stencil in every morning, but he was good in a makeup chair, so that was no problem. So
that's
Sunday
awesome.
Rest,
so,
I love it. And instead of 9 horses like most of these movies used, we used 1 horse.
Oh, wow.
So
really?
Sunday Rest does racing, Sunday Rest does the comedy, Sunday Rest, you know, has the conversations with the actors and stuff. So it's basically short of a couple scenes where we just put a horse in a starting gate or something in the distance. It's all Sunday Rest plays this Mind That Bird.
Well, now you didn't really
see, because as a horse person, I look for the differences in the horses. There's a horse movie where there's a gray horse that goes around and jumps a course, and there's a dang different gray horse in every scene. And it's like, I'm not going to be able to know the difference between a dapple gray and a flea bitten gray.
Right.
So that makes me actually feel better that I can just relax. Now, do you have a lot of whinnies in the movie? Like, you know how sometimes
we hate
you
fake whinnies.
And
yeah.
The answer
okay,
is
I
did not
have. I do have a lot of whinnies. I happen to be a fan. If they're good whinnies, I like whinnies. And I tell you, when you have a whole, well, they're where I think they ought to be. So it is a movie. You have some dramatic license. But, yeah, there are some whinnies, and I think you have to listen to. When you're in a sound room, and you've got the wrong whinny, it doesn't work. But I think if you have a communicative horse, and a lot of these things do, I mean, I've got a horse here at my ranch that talks nonstop, whinnies nonstop, whether it's food, whether it's this, whether it's that. So some horses are obviously, you know, very vocal and some silent. So,
but do you, see, that's like, the difference. You know the difference. You know what, that horses have different whinnies. It's the producers that have a movie with horses in it, and they play the same whinny. And the horse is not even moving his mouth when the whinny is happening. You know, the difference. So that makes
no,
it better.
I'm a stickler on that. I mean, go back to Dances with Wolves, and when you hear all the horses and the way they move on the ground, and I did all that sound work, everything. Won an Oscar for the sound work. So, you know, I know the particulars of horses and how they move and all that. So I would love people to watch this, listen to this, and say, you know, find me something that doesn't work. That's okay. it's hard.
I got a question, though. Is it a documentary? You know, what kind of movie is it?
This is a full-blown motion picture, buddy. This is as big as they get. This is not a documentary.
Okay.
It's not a short. This is a full-blown theatrical extravaganza. Yep.
I can't wait to see it. I'm super excited about it. Where are we going to get to see it? Do we have to request it at our local theaters? Is it going to be
exactly
wide release?
What's happening? This is years ago in the 80s, 70s, and 80s. They used to do a rollout release, meaning you open in a part of the country and it continues to move. And that's exactly what we're doing. So the film was not acquired by a studio. Sometimes what will happen is you finish a film and a studio picks it up and it's in 3,000 theaters a month later. And that's, you know, and the majority of films are not picked up. They're just made by studios today. So they know their dates a year ahead of time and they make these, you know, $100 million pictures and slam them in the theaters and that's that. So this is painstakingly made by ourselves. We had 5 investors in the movie. So it's independently financed. And, you know, it's been 3 years in the making. And so we're releasing it in theaters starting March 21st. March 21, it opens throughout New Mexico. And so it's statewide. Then we go to Texas and Louisiana, and on we go. So we're going to hit hopefully all 50 states and take our time with it. So there's a website you can check out, 50to1themovie.com. It gives you all of the release dates up to where we have them so far. So, no, it's a big theatrical. You'll see it in your local theater, and we'll be down that way. We don't know those dates yet. So we're set through, you know, March 21, and we got certain dates through April 18th. We're up in Kentucky, and then we'll see about Florida and other places. But we'll get to you.
All right, I'm in Arizona, so you better make sure you go west a little bit.
We're going to go west. Don't worry. Oh, you're in horse country. So this is, I think it plays well, obviously, in California, Arizona, Florida, a lot of your horse states. So, yeah, you betcha.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm so excited. It's been a pleasure talking to you, honestly. But I have to ask one question before we let you go.
Yep.
What is it like when they call your name and you've won the Oscar, and you have to go walk up on stage and give a speech? What was that moment like?
Well, you use the word surreal. I mean, it is pretty strange. There's a pool of people out there, and you hear your name. And it was strange that evening because it was 3 hours plus you're there. And you've heard a lot of your friends' names be called, and yet some were not called. So you're never quite certain about any of this stuff. Yeah, you go with the flow. I mean, it does kind of stun you, and yet you have to run up there and go. And so I had to go up there, and so Kevin and I are jumping up the steps, and there's Barbara Streisand standing with a couple of Oscars, and she hands them to you, and you realize, first of all, they weigh about 5 times what you think they do. I mean, they're just so heavy. So you kind of grab one, it kind of grounds you, which I think is a smart idea. And then Kevin says, go first. You go first. Kevin says, you go first. And so I'm like, oh, my gosh. So you stand there, and the good news is the light's pretty blinding. So you're looking out at an audience. You know it's a billion people, whatever the heck it is. But, you know, truth be told, you're so darn excited. You just want to get a few words out. I'm glad I couldn't see my parents and others that were there, my family, because I probably would have cried there. But, yeah, it's pretty great. So you get up and let it out. So, and you always say something a little foolish or trip on yourself, but we're human. That's okay.
I have goosebumps even hearing you say that. And finally, the final thing I have to ask you is, what was the name of the horse that you bought while you were sitting in a trailer with Kevin Costner and Whitney Houston, which is just surreal in itself?
Yeah, hang on a sec. Oh, my God.
Come on, you can do it.
No, I will get it. I will. And guess what? The horse never raced.
Oh, really?
No, the horse never ran. The horse, you know, had bullet in the morning, bullet works, Santa Anita, and hang on. There you go. I got it. Thank you. A pint and a prayer.
Oh, no.
Do you like it? There, that's
I
how,
like
that's
that.
That's how Jim Wilson started. Yeah, there was a trainer by the name of Jude Feld. And Jude was out here, and he said, I got a horse for you, and at auction, and a pint and a prayer. That was it. And
I so would have been on like that horse.
Trained like a monster, and we never quite got there. So,
oh, my gosh. Well,
that's it.
I swear I could get stories from you all day, Jim. I hope you'll come back someday and talk to us, maybe talk
Absolutely.
To us after this movie wins your next Oscar.
There you go. Well, I hope people support it because it is. We have a lot of fun, and it's a romp. It's rather different than a lot of the horse pictures you've seen. It's a lot of fun because These characters are fun, and they really are. These owners and Calvin and the horse, and so it doesn't take itself maybe quite as seriously. So I think that's fun. It'd be good for racing, I think. And yeah, we'll see what happens. Out we go.
The story is a movie, so just to be able to see it played out, and these guys look like they're a lot of fun. Even when they were at the Derby, I remember seeing those guys. I'm like, those guys party. I can't wait to see this film. Jim Wilson, the director and producer of 50-1. It has been an absolute pleasure having you on the show.
Yeah, all right. Thank you, Jamie.
Thanks,
Thank you,
Glenn.
Keep up your good work, guys. All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, my gosh. I can't wait. I'm sold. I'm in.
Was that you? I could tell you were in your element here. You really, you know, you knew every one of his movies. We couldn't have had a better first-time Oscar person on than that.
I'm sorry, but you know, the movie's 25 years old, maybe 25 years old, Glenn. How have you not seen the Dances with Wolves? But there is a part with the wolf and the horse that, again, I told you, and I wasn't going to tell him this because I'm sure it'll upset him, but I only watched the first half of that movie.
I think there's probably a lot of people that only watch the first half of the movie, isn't there? You're not the only one.
It's so beautiful, but you must watch it all the way through once, Glenn. And you do get to see Jennifer Kevin Costner's butt in the movie. So it will make you, it is okay.
Now, see, nobody mentioned that before. You should have led with that.
Now, I've seen Wyatt Earp. I saw Wyatt Earp, so I have seen one of his movies. I think we saw The Bodyguard at some point, but I don't remember.
And I will always love you. Oh, my God. That soundtrack is the soundtrack to my youth, Glenn. Hello. Uh-huh. I've got the stuff that you want.
So
I've got the stuff that you need.
In an effort to stop Amy from singing, so I didn't realize that he had a production company with Kevin Costner. So that's why Kevin's in almost all the movies. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, well, that's what they do that together. And I mean, you know, if you've got a good director and a good producer that you trust and you want to work with, and you're a superstar like Kevin Costner is, it's a win-win for both of them.
Well, while we're on Hollywood, I have a story for you. We always have to, you know, do a bizarre story when we do the show. And I've got the bizarre story of the week, maybe of the month. Do you ever watch the show? And I have never seen it, but I got to tell you, there's something very strange coming out on it soon. It's My Strange Addiction. Have you ever watched My Strange Addiction?
Oh, no, but it sounds terrible.
Well, it's on, what network is that on? I can't even remember. It premiered yesterday, season 5 of My Strange Addiction. It's got to be, it's TLC. TLC has all the weird shows. So they have one of a lady. Now, you know, we pick on the bronies, right? The bronies who like My Little Pony. Well, this lady kind of takes that pony thing to an extreme, and she's going to be on the second week of My Strange Addiction. I only know this because I saw the press release. And what she does is she does what she calls pony play. Now, she says that pony play is a form of costumed role play. You become an animal mentally and act accordingly. That means she puts on a bridle with horse ears. She gets groomed. She pulls a cart or other related horse activities every day. She does this. She puts hoof. You know those boots we saw that look like horses' feet? You know?
Yeah. Boots.
She puts those on, and then she prances around the arena and things.
Every day?
Every day, she dresses like a horse and puts on a bridle. Like, who wants a bridle on their face? With the bit, by the way.
Hold on.
Custom made.
Is this one of those weird, they call them furries, where people get dressed up in costume and do things that only married people do to other people in costume?
No, apparently this is not. We had a lot of those, actually, when we had our store back in the 90s. We were the number one whip supplier for people with certain activities. And they let us know that. They would actually write us emails and say, this is why we're buying 25 of your whips today. And much to our chagrin, we didn't really want to know why they were buying 25 of our whips. But yeah, I think this lady's just off her rocker. I think she probably takes Brony to a whole new level. But you can see that on the second episode of My Strange Addiction if you really want to. I think maybe she just learned to ride a horse. That's what I think. Maybe that would be.
That is definitely a strange addiction. That qualifies as the strangest addiction I've ever heard.
Well, no, I've seen a couple of the other press releases for the show. And let me tell you, there are some people that eat and do some weird things. Weird things.
Well, you know, I got, just because I got to change the subject, I got to give this. Can we give a round of applause? Let's see here. Where is it? To Priscilla Presley for taking back the Walking Horse Graceland Challenge Trophy. I actually saw this because I follow Ban the Big Lick on Facebook. And the donor of the trophy, Priscilla Presley, for three decades has been donating trophies to the world nation's premier walking horse competition. However, and it's a big deal to win. It's given in memory of Elvis Presley. She's attended the Shelbyville event. But that's before people really knew what was going on behind closed doors. She actually owns walking horses. You guys have been great friends.
Yeah, we met them. Yeah.
However, yeah, she's one of the most now vocal supporters of the federal bill that's seeking to end the abuse of the breed. She's like, you know, knowing what we know now, we want that trophy back. Graceland is not going to support this. And I would add, she's not going to support that crap. She said, I can't support the trophy when inhumane methods are used on these horses. I just can't support it. Yeah.
Go, Priscilla.
I know. You know what's funny is we don't talk about it enough because we try to be a positive, happy show, and we don't like to talk about too much of that. But Glenn and I have both said, if you are listening to this show and you are a fan of the Big Lick Tennessee Walking Horses, go ahead and email us. We want to hear from you. We want to know why you do, and we'll have you on the show. But here's the guarantee, Glenn, is nobody will email us because those people are not listeners of the show.
No.
Because we do nice things to horses on the show. That's right. Nobody's ever emailed us. I've put out that challenge 100 times. Email us. If you want to support that, jamie@horseradionetwork.com. I would love to hear from you. But guess what? I won't because those people don't listen to the show.
No,
because they don't listen.
I'm not really upset that they don't, to be honest with you. It doesn't bother me a whole lot.
No. This is not that kind of
thing. After all this time, I think it's been, almost 3 years since we've been to Graceland. And we did this show. We did the morning show live at Graceland. It's been almost 3 years. I think now, after Priscilla has done this and is recalling that trophy, I can forgive her for not showing up and doing an interview with us while we were there. So I think after all this time, I can finally forgive her for not showing up.
Wow, Glenn, I'm really proud of you for letting that go. I know it's really been weighing on you a lot. So, you poor thing.
It's been awful. Yeah. It's been bothering me for 3 years.
Hey, Glenn, I do want to let you know. I have nothing, nothing, nothing if I don't.
And I think that's the end of the show today. That's about all we can handle. So that's it. We'll be back here tomorrow morning. But Jennifer has to tell us what the prizes are for tomorrow's really bad ads. Do you know, Jennifer?
Do it with the music.
Looks like you have to do it with music. Let me see if I can mute her.
I'm going to read instructions. From horsegroomingsolutions.com, a grooming tote filled with products valued at over $100. Don't stop singing, Jamie. When you need gentle, effective, economical products for your daily or show grooming needs, look no further than Horse Grooming Solutions brand that you have come to know and love. Healthy hair care, voted number one horse health brand by consumers, Silverado Show Grooming, and Old Timers Equine. You can find them all at your local pack and feed supplier, or you can go online to horsegroomingsolutions.com.
They're going
to
want their wait a minute. They're going to want their money back with that music playing in the background. They're going to ask for their money back.
unless you're singing along in the chorus, Glenn, be quiet. Horse Quencher is a precise and proven blend of all natural grains and flavorings. Horse Quencher offers virtually every horse desire, right into the water, even sticky drinkers. And now, Horse Quencher, when you lead your horse to water where they can make him drink, you can learn more at horsequencher.com. Speaky and Beaker both love it.
send them to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com with really bad ads in the subject line. Remember to copy the whole ad and put it in the email. Don't just send the link. We'll be here tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. on Horses in the Morning.
I'm every woman. It's all you feel. Anything you want done, baby, I do it naturally.
Thank God everybody has stopped listening by now.
Baby, there you go.
Sorry, Miss Whitney. I do.